Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, good morning.
We got us another blessed day that the Lord has made.
Amen. Amen. We will rejoice and be glad.
Oh, yeah. We are mightily moving by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We'll begin with prayer in the communion class. The Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you will bless us to go forward and you doing all to stand. Lord, I thank you that you'll be in our midst today. Bless us to go forward in you in every way there is. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
We stopped last week at St. John 19, verse 7. And I want to pause and go over to Luke. I wanted to capture the part where Herod got involved. And we'll begin in Luke chapter 22 and 67.
Luke 22.
Verse 67. And this is, Jesus had just been put before the Pharisees. Verse 66 says, "And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard this of his own mouth. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. Now, you know, they were lying on him, of course. And their heart was set to disagree with God. And Jesus pointed that out. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he had hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. And he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Now, the Proverbs teach us not to address a foolish question. You know, get on the same level as a foolish person. And Herod, the way Jesus handled this situation, he said nothing. And Herod, with his men of war, set him in naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were enmity between themselves. Now Jesus once taught his disciples, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and also the leaven of Herod. And the Pharisees love preeminence and Herod loved position. And these are two things to be aware of, not to do, because they get us in trouble. Jesus was always guided by the Holy Spirit in all that he did. He always regarded the Father's face. He always sought the Lord about what he was going to do.
Amen.
And then he acted. Now, at this point, Satan thought that he was going to finish Jesus off and be done with it. They thought that they were going to get Jesus out of the way. Uh-huh. Herod thought that he would remain king, which he did. But nobody understood his Jesus' purpose. Nobody understood that he was the king. And they refused to see that he was the Word of God. And their heart was set in that condition. So with all this, they're going to crucify. And the Jews were behind the whole thing. They were stirred up to crucify him, get this man out of the way. Because they love what they love their place in society more than their love for God. And with that, when we draw near to the Lord, we have to love his ways. We have Amen. To. That's the difference between the hot church and the lukewarm church. Mm-hmm. It's all about the way we love God.
Jesus.
Those that, the hot church, we think of power. We think of a dedicated people like David. But when you go all the way down to the foundation, they have the love of God. And they fully intend to act on all of his ways.
Jesus.
They have made a decision. They ate off the tree of life, so to speak. And they rejected the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what love does. Love receives the truth and hates Amen. The lie. Amen. It receives the truth. It desires the truth. It's dedicated
yes.
to true things. And it hates all false things.
Yes.
And the world system, when people have a reputation the lukewarm church had a reputation, the Laodicean church had a reputation of being godly, but they let their love wane. They were like the five virgins who let their oil run out. And the hot church are those who keep their love alive. They'll cooperate with the Holy Spirit. They'll cooperate with the Lord in every way. They'll do the things of God. They'll love his people. And that's the difference that Jesus was after. He said, buy of me gold. In other words, do my work and you're going to be greatly rewarded.
Amen.
But the lukewarm church was going to be spit out because it had another love. The lukewarm church is like a cheating spouse. The husband go to work and then the wife cheats on him. Or the wife is out and the husband cheats on her. It's, the lukewarm church is like a cheating spouse. They love the world somewhere. And they're looking at the world in this corner and they still going to God saying, I love you too. And it's not the same. And the Lord knows this. So here we have, you know, a display of what it is to be cold. Now, the chief priests and the rulers of Israel at that time, they loved the world and hated the truth. But they were in the position of Moses. But they hated God. And they loved their way and they loved their preeminent position over the people. And they were full. If a person's full of that kind of pride, they're also full of fear. Everybody who gets in pride always simultaneously gets in fear. The Lord taught me once that fear is an agent of pride, just like faith is an agent of love. When you get in love, you have faith. Faith works by love. Faith works because of love. In other words, if you love someone and you're presenting them before the Lord, you'll do what the... You'll tear the roof down and let somebody down so Jesus can bless them. That's what love acts. Love is a more accurate word for love is charity. You know, in our dictionary, love is more of a noun, but it's really a verb. Love is the action behind love. I mean, faith is the action behind love. But fear, when people get in pride, they're wrong, they're disconnected from God, and they're afraid of something. And they always use fear tactics to control people. Now, here they are. The same day Herod, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. But they had a common, they had a situation that they didn't know how to, they couldn't put Jesus away. They tried to send him to each other, and they couldn't get out. They knew he was a just man, but they loved their positions. So they sympathized with each other, you know, and I say that because of what happened. All right, in verse 13, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. He said, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. Now this was, you know, I like the fact that he made this statement. He wasn't just going to go along with them and destroy a just man because they said he was evil. He said, I can't do it in my conscience. And his wife had the dream to leave him alone. Verse 15, no, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all the once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. For a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was he cast into prison. And Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Now, these things happen, and they wanted Jesus dead because their heart was set against him. They fully loved the world. They loved their position and their preeminence. In the stature in society more than they love God, and this is the reason we have peace now is because people have been blessed by Jesus in this nation and others. The gospel spread, and once the light prevailed, the darkness had to hide. But there are people still just as vicious and even more vicious than these. Even now. So when we commune with the Lord, we put people in Pilate's seat. They have to make a decision, yes or no. When the light is presented, the light of God's word is presented, people have to make a position. You know, they have to take sides what they're going to do. And sometimes we put people in the position of the chief priest. They have to make a choice of what they're going to do. All right. This is what communion does. It does if we draw near to the Lord and he draw near to us, and we go before him, we commune with him, we become like him. And if his word divides the soul and spirit, then we divide the soul and spirit. If he divides the sheep and the goat, by his light, so do we. We make people, they have to take sides, yes or no, to Jesus. But this is a good thing. People can change when there's more light. And they can make a sober decision according to their will when there's enough light. Okay, we're out of time. 1 Corinthians 11. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Our total mission in life is to do what Jesus did. Live in the Word of God. And after he had, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your boldness and your courage and all the wonderful attributes you've given us in communion. As we draw near to you, I thank you that you draw near to us and help us to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 First, have you planned on having this lesson right at Easter?
No.
I thought that was a hoax. Yeah. Because it's, Easter's the 1st of April.
Yeah. Yeah. It just happened that way.
Holy Spirit.
So good. All right.